What's going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It's October 7th, 2024. So you know what that means. A brand new episode of the Tan and J-Man Show streaming live on the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page, as well as the IC Sports Network, IC Sports Network Twitter page, IC Sports Network YouTube channel. And it's available on all your favorite audio podcast platforms. So if you're listening, an Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever, give us that 5-star rating and review and leave us a comment. We'd really appreciate it, and it helps us out. I'm Tanner Lee. You know that already. Sitting to my right, or on the screen to my right, I should say, sitting in a state away to the west, Josh the J-Man Mon. J-Man, what's going on?
J-Man.
A little throwback to our first couple episodes where I just started saying, J-Man. Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, your Dolphins got a win. So they life did. Is good. Life is better than it would be if they would have got a loss.
Yeah, my mood on Sunday is a lot better if my team wins, which is pretty pathetic. But yeah.
It's what sports does to us, isn't it?
So. I was on cloud nine after beating the worst team in the NFL yesterday. But,
yeah, they probably are the worst team. I don't know. The Browns are pretty darn bad right now.
Browns are pretty bad. I will agree with you there. But
they refuse to make a quarterback change. So,
yeah, I don't think the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, is the one able to make that decision from the sounds of it. So paying Deshaun Watson a little too much money to yank him out of that starting role.
Yeah, but see, that's the type of thing I appreciate the Broncos ownership group, because they decided, well, if that's not the direction our coach wants to go, we're just going to eat the money, move on.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. It absolutely sucks. It handcuffs you from doing some roster moves, but you'd rather rip the Band-Aid off than go through what the Browns are going through.
Yeah, it's very clear that the Deshaun Watson's teammates do not like him either, and they're fed up. So I think it does a disservice to the other, 52 men on that active roster each week, throwing him back out there. I think Jameis could do just as well, if not better.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. 100% agree with you. And I know neither of us thought the Browns were going to be any good this year, but they are coming off a year. Last year they made the playoffs. So some people did have them in the playoffs again this year. So.
Yeah, some people were still buying into Deshaun Watson. You know, he had that stretch off, and he'll be fine. But no, he's bad. He's bad.
He's not good.
I have an NFL birdie bogey question for you today. It's a four answer. You got to get three for a par, four for a birdie. The top four players with the most games with four or more touchdown passes and 50-plus rush yards in the same game. NFL history, the top four guys to have done it. I think you have a pretty good shot at a par, at least.
I don't know.
The birdie might be a little more difficult, but I think you have an outside shot to get that one too. But
I'm not feeling good about it. So.
I would say usually when we don't feel good, we do good, but that's not the case either. We just do bad all the time.
We're not very good.
Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Over the weekend, they had a weekend special. It was jerk spiced chicken breast on a bed of velvety brown butter sweet potato mash alongside perfectly roasted Parmesan bacon Brussels sprouts. I'm at Arlington Public House. They are open in the fall from 4 to 9 on Thursday and 4 to 10 on Friday and Saturday. So go in and check them out.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed. Everything on the menu is good, so can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Well, I'm going to start off this episode a little different. We can do the pick six segment this week right off the bat. We're going to do a little some NFL, some college football. I might even throw an MLB guy in there. I don't know. I'm kind of going right off the top of my head here. But we're going to start with Davante Adams.
Yeah, he didn't demand a trade. He requested a trade, which sounds a little better, I guess, but in a sense still bad. It's getting ugly there already for Antonio Pierce. He had to make a quarterback change yesterday, and I assume O'Connell is going to start this.
I assume too. Week. Yeah.
just because Minshew has not been great. And then he, you know, they had a chance to go up. What was it, 17-3? And he throws a pick six at the on first and goal too. Patrick
honestly could have shifted the Raiders and Broncos seasons. I know that sounds crazy in the fifth game, but
I mean, there's a big difference between 3-2 and 2-3.
Right,
that's pretty big. So, and so Adams wants out. I don't know what he's unhappy with besides maybe just the direction, because I mean, maybe it's a contract dispute. He doesn't have good quarterbacks throwing him the ball. I really don't know. And of course, the main name that's been popping up as far as trade goes is the New York Jets, just because of his obviously familiarity with Aaron Rodgers. But that's a dumpster fire out there too. So he'd be going from one dumpster fire to another. And it's not looking good there in Vegas.
A few other teams' names I've heard out there: Saints, because of his relationship with Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Steelers. Of course, the Chiefs would like him, but the Raiders aren't going to be, I don't think, dumb enough to trade him inside the division.
You wouldn't think, but Mark Davis's stupidity knows no bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Joe Flacco.
Man, Browns, that's the reason why they went to the playoffs last year. Yep. It's because of Joe Flacco. Now he's playing some very good football with the Indianapolis Colts. They did lose yesterday, but he threw for over 300 a couple
times. It wasn't his fault they lost.
It was not. It was not. He played very well. That defense there in Indianapolis is not very good. But they do have an opportunity this week against Tennessee Titans. And I said it even before Anthony Richardson got hurt, that if they are serious about making the playoffs, they need to stick with Joe Flacco. Do you want to continue to develop Anthony Richardson as far as getting him as many snaps as possible? Because, again, it's well known. He doesn't have many snaps since eighth grade even.
Yep.
Didn't start many games in high school. Didn't start many in college. Wasn't very effective in college either. But they were tantalized by his, you know, his size and athleticism and skill set in a sense. And he's not very polished. So do you want to risk, you know, having a bad season where you get to have him play, you know, every single down? Or do you want to make the playoffs? That's the thing that probably falls on Ursay, honestly, his decision there in Indianapolis. But Flacco is the much better quarterback.
Well, and today, I don't know if you saw this, Shane Steichen, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He came out and said Richardson is a starter when healthy.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Sticking in the NFL, Zach Taylor.
Yeah, it's it could be getting late there in Cincinnati. You know, he had that one incredible run. And same with Burrow. Burrow was good yesterday.
He played pretty good yesterday.
But he hasn't been healthy. And honestly, again, he just had that one run to the Super Bowl, and then he won a playoff game in Buffalo the next season. Other than that, hasn't done a whole lot. They, again, have drama with Ja'Marr Chase, contract issues. 1-4. That was a disaster of a loss yesterday. Yeah. Where they were up the entire game for one, and then it went to overtime. They got Lamar Jackson to just botch a snap. Had it at the Ravens, what was it? They were on about the 38-yard line, you know, get a few yards closer for an attempted field goal. Got 3 yards closer, so it made it a 50-something yarder, and they botched the snap and bad kick. I think in that situation, you have to stay aggressive. I know you don't want to risk a turnover. Getting 3 yards when you're on the 38 and attempting a field goal, that's not great field goal range for one. It'd be interesting if they continue. They're too talented to continue to falter like this, but they have a loss to New England on their record. They just haven't played very good. And say they finish the year 5-12, 6-11, I think he's gone.
Yep. We'll stick with the city of Cincinnati, but go to a different sport. Terry Francona.
Yeah, Tito, coming out of retirement. Spent one year on the sidelines.
He Urban Meyer'd him.
Fantastic manager, and he is a very, very good hire for the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, he won a lot in Cleveland, obviously broke the curse in Boston, and won another one in Boston. He knows what he's doing. As long as his health continues to get better, because that was the reason why he retired in the first place, was for health reasons. So I assume everything's good there. Fantastic, especially for a young team like that.
And you got to think that part of him accepting the job was he was probably told we're going to be aggressive in free agency. Mm-hmm.
You would think, but would think. We were told that with Craig Counsell being with the Chicago Cubs last year. And yeah, the Reds are never aggressive doing anything. So it's one of those, I'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah,
I believe you want to see it.
We'll switch college football now. Clark Lee or Lay?
Who's that?
I'm not really. Vanderbilt's coach. I'm not sure if his last name's L-E-A. I don't. It's not giving me.
Greatest win in Vandy football history.
Easily.
Vandy scored 13 points total against Alabama during the Nick Saban tenure, which was 18 years. And they put up 40. And then they tore the goalpost down, walked down Broadway Street. Fantastic moment. Really bad loss for Alabama, honestly.
It's one of those cases where college kids probably reading the press clippings, getting told mm-hmm. around campus how good they are after a huge win against Georgia, a game they probably lose more times out of 10 than they win,
yeah.
And they're going to a place where we can snooze through this game.
We've all snoozed through this game, yeah.
Yep. And looking at his head coaching record, he's 12-29. That's all at Vandy from 21 to now. And I didn't know this. He played at Vanderbilt from 02 through 04 as a fullback.
Interesting.
So coaching as alma mater. Before that, he was Notre Dame's DC from 18 to 20.
Mm.
So, yep. Let's see here. I need one more name. Let's try to find another one. College football here. Who do I want to go with? Oh, Kirby Smart. See what he said today?
No, I did not.
He wants the Georgia fans to be louder.
Louder?
Huh. Louder. Which I have heard over the years. Their stadium down there between the hedges is pretty quiet for a fantastic program. For whatever reason, it doesn't get real loud there. So
interesting. That
maybe
that,
they're too polite. Maybe they got
could be. Yeah, it could be the way the stadium's set up, though. I mean, sometimes it is a stadium issue as far as noise. But that's interesting. I'd be a little PO'd if I'm a Georgia fan after that one.
Yeah.
But I've been in my fair share of quiet stadiums. Memorial Stadium down in Champaign's gotten pretty quiet. Ross Aid at times has gotten very quiet as well. I'll never forget going to that Virginia Tech game. 2015 Hazel was still there,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
And
yes, it was. Yep.
It was just an absolute drubbing by Virginia Tech. And you could have heard, like, it was just like a normal casual Sunday afternoon sitting outside, Saturday afternoon sitting outside, zero noise. And I've been where Illinois has gotten absolutely destroyed, and it's been very quiet there. So I, compared to those places, I imagine Georgia Bulldog Stadium is pretty loud. But
yeah, it's interesting. I'm reading here, Arkansas and Vanderbilt both got fined for the field stormings, like you do now most times. This was Arkansas got fined $250,000 because this is their second offense.
Mm.
Future offenses will cost the school $500,000. And since it was Vanderbilt's first offense, they got fined $100,000.
Oh, okay.
So interesting stuff there. Interesting stuff. But that's going to do it for this week's Pick 6 segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print Suit Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2024 or perhaps 2025, since we're getting close to knocking on the door there, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print promotional company today by giving Barbara Vans Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815.
Baseball playoffs. I'm going to hit on that real quick. got tie series in the National League, Phillies and Mets. Mets had a very good opportunity to lose game one, and they came back from a 3-0 deficit. And then the same thing yesterday. Phillies came back from a 3-0 deficit and ended up winning. And again, not even talking about the Mets, miracle win in Milwaukee in game three on Thursday, down, I think they were down two in the ninth, and Pete Alonso hit an Oppo 3-run homer to,
who was having an awful series.
Awful series. Dropped a pop fly in foul territory. Striking out a bunch. He had a homer yesterday too. So maybe he's getting hot. And then the Dodgers and Padres tied it up last night. And that is going to be a fantastic series. They hate each other. fans hate each other. Manny Machado and Jack Flaherty were getting into it. Fans were throwing stuff on the field at the Padres players into the bullpen. It was pretty ugly there in L.A. last night. So now they go back to San Diego, and it will be a very, very hostile environment there. In the American League, I almost said Indians. Guardians won game one. I just saw that the Tigers had a three-run homer in the ninth off of the best closer we've seen over the past maybe 20 years, Manuel Clase, in the ninth. And now they're up 3-0. And then the Yankees, the Major League Baseball really wants the Yankees in the World Series. They do not want an American League Central team in the World Series. And it was very evident by the way that thing was umped the other day where Jazz Chisholm was very clearly out at second, and then he scores the game-winning run, and they didn't overturn it at second base. So they're up 1-0, and I assume that'll be a sweep. They'll probably sweep whoever they play next. And Major League Baseball will do everything in their power because they do not want the Royals, Guardians, or Tigers in the World Series after having, you know, a Diamondbacks Rangers World Series last year, which
I'd really think, the two teams the Yankees had to worry about were out before they even had to worry about them, Orioles and Astros.
Yeah, so. Both swept, both listless performances too. Very, very disappointing year for the Baltimore Orioles after winning over 100 games last year.
I think it's one of those things, a young team trying to figure out how to handle success, and it's just part of the learning curve here. Next year, I expect them to be strong again next year.
You would think, but they're likely going to lose Corbin Burns to free agency. A lot of these guys are hitting arbitration eligible, which they'll have to make some decisions because that is not an organization that ever has a very high payroll. So once guys like Gunnar Henderson hit arbitration, Adley Rutschman, they got to lock those guys up early and maybe a team-friendly deal, which if I'm them, I do not sign a team-friendly deal.
I feel like the last time the Orioles spent money was for Miguel Tejada, Rafael Palmeiro, and Sammy Sosa.
It really was. Chris Davis was another one that they spent a ton of money. He was a disaster.
Didn't Brian Roberts get a decent deal too?
Yeah, he always got pretty good. He got some good money from the Baltimore Orioles. He was always future Cub Brian Roberts, and it just never happened. Everyone thought they were going to. But
who was the third baseman? Mesa? Mesa? Wasn't Mesa the third baseman?
Melvin Mora.
Mora.
Yeah, those were pretty good teams. I don't think they ever made the postseason.
No, I don't think they did.
They had a nice little run there from about 14 to 16 or so. 13, 14, 15, 16. They were pretty good.
When we were growing up, of course, Ripken retired at 01. Mm. We were pretty young, but they were terrible.
Yeah, they were not very good. We had the Brady Anderson Royd season where he hit 50-plus homers. and then, of course, they signed Tejada. But then other than that, they really haven't been that good. They had the Adam Jones years, as I said, it was pretty good. But it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Brandon Hyde, their manager, will be back. No, he was getting a lot of heat towards the end of the season because they kind of folded down the stretch. They built a pretty good American League East lead there, and then the Yankees got hot, and the Orioles just kept losing. And going to the Astros, they had kind of a down year anyway, but won the division as they usually do. But now they're going to be in a kind of a transitional phase as well. Their GM said they're going to be mindful of payroll and probably have to cut a little bit. Alex Bregman's a free agent; he probably won't be back. So they're going to have to make some decisions too. And hopefully, their reign of terror, because they had been in the ALCS for about 7 or 8 straight years. So
it's been a decade they've been good now.
So hopefully that reign is over.
But no, it's been an enticing playoff so far, for sure.
Yeah, the Phillies Mets game yesterday was an unbelievable game. Back and forth. Mets did a 2-run homer in the ninth to tie it, and then the Phillies walked it off. Nick Castellano, RBI single. That was a really and those fan bases hate each other too, so it's been a very, very hostile environment there in Philadelphia. Now it's going to New York where they host their first playoff game. I think they were there in 2 or 3 years ago.
And they were pretty good at home this year. So
yeah, I'm very much rooting for the Phillies. Do not like the Mets.
Me both. Nope.
Do not like the Dodgers. I'm really rooting for a Phillies Padres in LCS. American League, it's going to be Yankees versus an American League Central. That's like, but.
Well, they better hope so, or if not, Aaron Boone's going to be shown the door.
He should be shown the door.
It should be,
Should happen.
He's honestly had a longer leash than I expected him to have.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll see. But do you want to cover, or do you have a segment you want to get to before we get into the football?
I will educate you here real quick. All right. Before we get into any football stuff. On this day in 1916, Georgia Tech University, coached by John Heisman, defeats Cumberland University 222-0.
Think they ran the triple option to put up all 222 points?
I would have liked to see video footage of that game. If there's video footage of that game and there's not of the Wilt 100-point game, then the Wilt 100-point game never happened.
Yeah.
On this day in, a lot of World Series, New York Giants beat the Washington Senators 4-3 at Griffith Stadium to clinch a 4-1 series victory in 1933. Tigers beat the Cubs in 1935 to win that series. On this day in 1950, the Yankees beat the Phillies to sweep that series. It was their 13th then. On this day in 52, the Yankees beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 7. Johnny Mize was MVP. On this day in
There's
not been any cricket. Cricket must be a summer.
Yeah. Listen to us. It must be. We don't even know.
1984 NLCS, the Padres beat the Cubs to clinch that series. That was not fun for our fathers. On this day in 1984, sweetness, Walter Payton passed Jim Brown as the NFL's career rushing leader.
He was a good one.
Yes, he was. On this day in, not a lot of great ones today. Here's a cricket one. A couple crickets. 2012, ICC Men's Cricket T20 World Cup Colombo West Indies beat Sri Lanka by 36 runs for first title. Player of the series was Australian all-rounder Shane Watson, 249 runs and a whopping 11 wickets.
It's like foreign language to me. I have no idea.
I knew like four of those words. On this day in 2012, Saints quarterback Drew Brees broke Johnny Unitas' NFL record for consecutive games with a touchdown pass, 48. And he connects with Devery Henderson. Man, that's a name. Blast from the past there.
He was an answer to a trivia question the other day, and I didn't even answer it because I had no idea. That was
that's going to do it for on this day.
And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana Grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them on Instagram and on Facebook. At Mooney Woodcrafts is their handle on there. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. I feel like a broken record, but it's October 7th. Christmas is literally going to be here before you know it. This will make the perfect Christmas gift for somebody in your life, whether it's a family member or a friend, whether they like sports or not. That can make a wood sign for any occasion, so around any topic. So get a hold of them. You get 15% off if you mention that we sent you, and you will not be disappointed.
Where is this year gone?
It's crazy.
Seems like we were just doing our 24 bold predictions.
Just crazy.
24. Now I got to somehow come up with 25. Man. I think that's my least favorite thing we do, because it's so difficult once you hit like the first 15.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I got 10 more of this.
Yep. Well, we know I'm going to have a Sonics one. We know you're going to have Rory. Yeah. There's some of them you know that are going to be guarantees that we're going to put on our list, but others is like, got to think outside the box.
Yeah, got to go very bold.
My greatest pull was still last year, Indy 500 winner, Newgarden, because I had no idea. Joseph Newgarden, he wasn't even a betting favorite, and he wins the thing. So
yeah, you got lucky.
Yeah, I've got very lucky. So let's talk some football. I don't care what we start with.
College football.
Craziest week we've seen to date this year. Week 6, there were 6 top 25 upsets where the team that beat the ranked team was unranked.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it started with, of course, you had the Vandy, Bama. You had Tennessee losing to Arkansas. Or not Arkansas. Yeah, was it Arkansas?
They haven't won at Arkansas since 2001. Oh. Tennessee has not. I watched a good majority of that fourth quarter. It was a really entertaining game. You had your Canes escaped out of Berkeley. 2 weeks in a row. Uh-huh. They are doing something to the refs.
Team of destiny there out there in Coral Gables.
Had Washington beat Michigan in a rematch of last year's national championship game, even though the two teams do not resemble the two teams last year that got there. You had Minnesota pull off a stunner at home against USC. Still wish that game would have been late November. And what other one am I forgetting? Who else went? Oh, Missouri. But this wasn't an unranked match, but Missouri got thrashed at Texas A&M.
Yeah, Missouri's had been the most overrated school in the top 25. They were ranked in the top 10, but they struggled against, like, I think they played Florida. They didn't play very well against Florida. They struggled at home against another team that they should have beaten pretty handily. So that was technically an upset, but actually it might not have been because it was in A&M, right?
Yeah, somebody was 2 or 3 point favorites. I don't remember who it was. Yeah,
it couldn't have been much. I imagine it probably A&M was favored in that one. But
I know the other upset. It was Friday night. I watched this game, then fell asleep. I missed the ending. It was Syracuse winning in overtime at UNLV.
Against UNLV, yeah. That was a good game, too. I was watching the Oregon-Michigan State kind of flipping back and forth between the two. But, a lot of people were talking how this week was going to be a snooze fest because there weren't, like, ranked matchups. It ended up being
– always happens.
Now this week, everyone's been talking about for like 6 months now, almost since they put the schedule out. Hope you guys don't have weddings this day or something like that. Make sure you don't go apple picking or pumpkin patch this week because it's, you got Oregon, USC. You have, that's the only one I can think of. Or not Oregon, USC, Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah, number two against number three.
Yeah.
You do have number four, Penn State at USC. I know USC just lost, but that's still a big time matchup. Let's see what else you got. Should have been more prepared here. My apologies. You also got Texas, Oklahoma, number one against 18. Red River shootout. Arizona, BYU, that'll be a good one. Ole Miss, LSU, 9 against 13. Number 18, Kansas State at Boulder, Colorado. Yeah, it's got some good ones.
Yeah, some good ones. And this week it'll probably be not very good week. That's how
probably
it goes.
Probably not. Yep, that's usually how it goes. But I mean, we kind of already hit on it around the country. But anything else stand out to you around the country, or how about in the Big Ten?
Big Ten wise, we had. We had Indiana go to 6-0.
Bowl eligible.
Yeah, I think you take 12 of the 18 Big Ten teams and give them their schedule, I think they'd be 6-0. I think there's 12 teams in the Big Ten that would be 6-0 with that schedule. It's not their fault for who they played in the conference anyway.
Well, in the conference. I was going to say, not conference. They smartly did it, you know, years ago, which they were supposed to play Louisville this year, and they paid to get out of it. So ahead of time, I think they did that over the summer or something, or maybe it was even last year. It was supposed to be that series was supposed to be a 3-year series. And I don't even know if they played twice. I know they played Lucas Oil. Yeah. But, you know, when you're looking for a new coach, that stuff probably attracts a new coach. Oh, yeah. I can get off the 3 or 4-0 start. Fan base is going to love me. So whereas if you play a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Why would you want to step into that situation?
There's almost no benefit to playing a gauntlet in the non-conference anymore.
I would like to see, and a lot of schools are stuck. Like I know in Purdue's case, they're stuck in a lot of these because they made them years ago before college football became, you know, or the world of college football became what it is now. But ideally, if I could make Purdue's schedule, I would like an FCS team, excuse me, like Indiana State or one of those, a non-power four, and not even like a premier non-power four, like a MAC, Eastern Michigan or something. I don't know. And then like a Notre Dame, if you can get that on the schedule, just because rivalry. But if you can't, then somebody like around your level, like I don't want to say, I would say Vanderbilt,
Virginia,
but yeah, Virginia, something like that, you know. So you get a good mix there, nothing crazy.
Yeah,
but like I said, these schedules are made long in advance, and I know they have some through 2030 that they have to honor. So,
yeah, and we're no longer seeing that scheduling 10 years out anymore,
right?
Which is nice because, for one, you might be in the same conference by that time.
Yeah, and playing a non-conference game within your conference. We've seen that multiple occasions this year.
So, yeah, that's smart because, yeah, I remember 10 years ago, it's like, okay, Illinois is scheduled so-and-so for 2028. Like, man, it's a long way. Well, we're three years away now, which is crazy.
And you have no idea, like, 10 years ago, the program they scheduled might have been really good, and they might be trash now, or vice versa. They might have sucked back then, what looked like an easy win, like Kansas, for instance, which turned out to be a good win for Illinois this year.
Well, but when they scheduled it,
I know, but they were ranked at the time, is what I'm saying. I mean, they probably thought at the time, oh my gosh, this is easy. They'd come to find out, oh my gosh, they're ranked 19th now. So never know.
It was kind of like when Purdue scheduled Virginia Tech. Man, this is a premier program. And then by the time they play, and they're still okay in 2015, then they've been completely fallen down to where, and then Purdue goes in there and wins last year.
Right. Which they can thank a storm for that. So
I forgot about that.
That's if that game doesn't get delayed, they probably don't win that game. But I really don't want to talk about it, but I feel like I have to. Purdue got absolutely taken to the woodshed by Wisconsin. Something I've seen so many times. I mean, it's 18 straight wins for Wisconsin in the series. Only two of those have been single digit losses, but this one was ugly because this is arguably Wisconsin's worst team of those 18 straight L's that Purdue has endured. And I thought Purdue fought hard in the first half, but man, whatever they drank at halftime, whatever was in the water, well, don't do that again, because, and they've done it too often this year. Second half, I mean, not only could the offense not score, but which I thought Jason Simmons called an okay game in the first half. He mixed some stuff up, at least tried something different. Wasn't as predictable as Graham Harrell. But that defense, the second half, Josh, I think you and I could have got open on some of the routes and some of the coverages. And I honestly think a big problem this Purdue team has, and it falls on the coaching staff, is when they get down a couple scores, you can see guys quitting out there on the field. You can see them not even trying to tackle, not even running hard. And that's the biggest frustrating thing for me this year, is not that their record is 1-4, because at this time I had them 2-3 anyways. It's how they're getting beat, the margins and the effort, and just the lack of fundamentals. And man, I like Ryan Walters as a guy. I like some of the things he's tried to install into the program and has installed. And I like his youth and energy. I don't know how he survives this, Josh. And it's not the Purdue way to can a coach after 2 years. I mean, the heck, they let Daryl Hazel stay around for 3.5 years, and he won 9 games in that 3.5 years. But college football has changed a lot, as we always talk about, since 2016 when they made that move. It, unless something really turns around, I don't see how he survives, because they've also had three commits decommit in the last week, one of them being their top one in the class.
Yeah. You don't get time in college game anymore. If you show like, hey, we're not going to be very good for 2 years, and then you're not very good the first 2 years, you get fired. You got to at least show. Now, if say they finished 4-8, that'd be an improvement over last season.
Same record last year.
Oh, they went 4-8 last year. I don't know. I was thinking they went 3-9. Back when he was hired, I thought it was interesting because
high risk, high reward.
Yes. He had like one good year. He was okay at Missouri. One good year as a defensive coordinator, which helps when you have, you know, three NFL guys in your defensive backfield. All love you recruits though. It seemed like at that time they would have gone and got a proven, you know, group of five head coach. Because, I mean, Brohm left in a decent spot. I mean, I know that they were losing a decent amount, but, I mean, he took them to a Big Ten championship the year before. It seems like it would have been super enticing. And I understand, you know, man, young guy had an unbelievable defense at a program that has had just miserably bad defenses. But it just seems like – must be a very good interview That's all I'm saying.
I think he did blow them away in the interview. And I don't know. So a lot of people who are closer to the program than me, or at least they act like they are on the message boards, I don't know. They said Mike Bobinski was not prepared for Jeff Braun to leave when he did, because I don't think they thought the Louisville job was going to open up that year. And Satterfield left. He left because he was unhappy with how he's getting treated and Cincinnati open. But to me, the writing was on the wall before that. Whenever Louisville was going to open up, he needed to have a plan.
Yeah.
And so maybe that was part of it. There's also been discussion on message boards that he wasn't the only one who made the coaching decision. I don't know. There was other people. I don't know. I don't know the facts. But I honestly think Ryan Walters probably blew them away. Hey, let's try something different than Purdue's ever tried. Defensive coach, young coach. Let's hire this guy before he gets hired next year. Because there's a good chance he's probably a head coach somewhere this year if he didn't get hired last year.
If
he replicated what he did at Illinois last year.
I would even say he probably would have got a head coaching job that cycle anyway.
Yeah, could have. So we'll see. I mean, maybe he somehow turns it around, but it's got to start this weekend at Illinois, a team that Purdue beat 44-19 last year. But this Illinois team's improved across the board, and Purdue hasn't. And Purdue's a 19.5-point dog. Last time they were 19-point underdogs to Illinois was 1990, and Illinois won 34-0. So, yeah, it's making my eyes bleed.
Yeah,
I don't look forward to Saturdays because not only is Purdue losing, every team I root against wins. So thank goodness my Sundays have been fun the past 3 weeks.
Yeah, I've watched Illinois football long enough to know not a single person in that fan base feels good about Saturday's game.
They should.
Purdue has not lost in Champaign since 2010.
How was that game? Miserable.
Daryl Hazel came in there. And if he loses that game in 2015, he probably loses his job that week.
Yeah.
And he ends up, you know, winning that one in overtime. I think that was a terrible Illinois team too. I think that Illinois team went, that was 2016, wasn't it?
16. He won. He extended his job by like a week or two.
Yeah. Cause that Illinois team was trash too. I think they went 2-10 or 3-9 Lovey's first year. So I'm sure they're not feeling great there. In theory, they should. I mean, as you said, I mean, the secondary has been pretty bad this year for Purdue.
Everything's been bad. There's nothing except special teams. The punter, Crimmins from Mississippi State, has been their bright spot on the team. I mean, Dylan Thiedemann, their best player, he muffed two punts the other day.
That's bad.
First one he gets back. The second one, Wisconsin jumps on. Wisconsin scores from 10-yard line. I feel like right when that happened, game was over.
Yeah.
Purdue was down 7-0, and it felt like the energy was done. It just, yeah. I mean, that's how little confidence I have in this offense to score points. So if they go down a touchdown, I feel like it's pretty much over. If they go down 10 points, 14 points, sayonara. It's just miserable.
Yeah. Illinois has a veteran quarterback now, two very veteran wide receivers that have played 4 years and are having really good years. They should be able to handle them. But again, I saw one guy on Twitter said, 1 point win. That's all I need.
Right. That's all you do need. And I know you mentioned that, you know, Purdue hasn't lost at Champaign since 2010. They've actually won 15 the last 19 against Illinois. Cause Jeff Brohm went, he was 5-1 against Illinois. Mm. Daryl Hazel was 2-2. Danny Hope was 3-1 and Joe Tiller was 6-2.
Yeah, the one Brohm lost was torrential downpour game where
2019,
Illinois, I think, threw it five times the entire game. And they ended up making a bowl because of it. But yeah, Purdue has had Illinois' number about everything. The revenue sports, I should say. But we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. You want to pick some games?
Do it.
All right, let me pull up my sheet here. Starting with Friday Nighter, Northwestern at Maryland. Maryland's a 10-point favorite.
Both winless in the conference so far. Northwestern actually scored some points against Indiana, which they gave up 41, so they needed to score a lot more than they did. But they're not very good. I don't think Maryland's all that great either. But still, give me Maryland for 6.
I got Maryland for 6 as well. Interesting one here, Wisconsin at Rutgers. Rutgers lost at Nebraska. Rutgers 2.5-point favorite.
I don't think Wisconsin's that great playing with a backup quarterback. Rutgers,
who looked like Dan Marino. the other day.
Did Rutgers get shut out against Nebraska over the weekend?
No, they did score. It was 14-7.
Yeah, it was a shutout real late, until real late. Give me Rutgers for four.
I'm actually taking Wisconsin for four. I agree with you, what you said about Wisconsin. I don't know. I just feel like Rutgers drops another one. I don't really know why.
I just can't get the Rutgers name out of my head when I'm picking games. I know I picked them here, but it's still, I know they're better, but it's Rutgers, yes. Rutgers, which is the same thing I'm struggling with Indiana and Illinois, both.
Washington at Iowa. Washington, big win, like we said, against Michigan. Iowa, I'm not going to call it a bad loss against Ohio State because Ohio State's going to trump everybody.
Yeah.
Besides maybe this weekend. Iowa, 2.5-point favorite.
Iowa lost one of their top receivers from last year anyway, who decides to use his redshirt.
Lost a running back, too, today.
Did they?
Williams, running back named Williams.
Okay, I assume it's not their good one, because their good one's really good. Caleb Johnson, I believe his name is. I'm taking the road team, though, Washington for two, because I think this will be a low-scoring game. Iowa's offense is just putrid.
I'll take Iowa for five. Okay. Give me the Hawks at home. I predict them way too good in our playoff predictor. I think I have them 10-2 or 11-1. So, number four, Penn State at USC. Penn State was lucky they were playing UCLA because this Penn State team just hasn't looked that great this year. It's weird.
No, their defense is very, very good. But offensively, they look good early, and then they just kind of slow down a little bit.
They are 5.5-point favorites out on the road.
I think they get it done. USC about to fall to 3-3 if they can't get this one. Penn State for three. I think he will start feeling some heat.
You got the Lions for three?
Yep.
I'm taking the Trojans for three. I was hoping we were going to be all different this week. So let's chaos assume. Purdue at number 23, Illinois. Like I said, Illinois is a 19.5-point favorite. The over-under is 50.5.
I think Illinois wins. They probably cover. They should cover. Give me Illinois for seven.
I got the Illini for seven. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be optimistic, but I got to tell you, Saturday really just crushed me.
Yeah.
So
I
can make an argument Saturday was worse than Notre Dame game. Because Notre Dame's talented.
It's very rare to hear you this negative, because Broncos haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, and you've never been this negative about the Denver Broncos.
I love this football program so much, and it hurts. It hurts. And I just don't, I'm like, I hate getting rid of a coach after 2 years. I hate having to buy him out of his contract, but if not, they could be stuck. If they hire a guy and miss again, they might be in trouble for the next 10 years. So if they do move, Babinski has got to get this next one right.
It's one of those things you got to move quick. If it looks like it's not going to be turning around anytime soon, you can't even afford another year.
If they think they're going that direction, they better be doing the groundwork right now.
Because Purdue fans, I've been on record saying they're unbelievable, still showing up and stuff like that. Say they finish 2-10, even 1-11. You're going to have a real hard time selling tickets next year.
Yep, 100%. That and recruiting is what it's going to come down to, probably. Uh-huh. Game of the weekend, number two, Ohio State, 3.5-point favorite at number three, Oregon.
This will be the J-Man's bucket prediction of the week. Ohio State really hasn't played anyone.
No.
Oregon didn't look all that great. I mean, they got it done against Michigan State. But I think this will be a fantastic game. I'm looking forward to watching it. Give me Ohio State, though, on the road for one confidence point.
Great minds think alike.
Ohio State for one.
Ohio State for one.
Jay Mann's Book It Prediction of the Week, brought to you by Travis Watchering, Insurance Agency, Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561.
I reached out to Travis today to try to get a new read. He must have been too busy helping customers. So it's all good. It's all good. Hopefully next week we'll have a new read for the show. And lastly, around the Big Ten, Minnesota, big win against USC, like we mentioned earlier. 5.5-point favorites going out to UCLA.
Yeah, UCLA's bad. I don't think Minnesota's all that great either. But I think the road team Minnesota wins for five confidence points.
I got the Bruins for two. I told you it's chaos. I never beat you in these pick-ems. I'm just trying to win a week. Somehow. Top 25. Let's pick some of the games we talked about earlier. Actually, I want to pick this one. This is an interesting one. 3-2 California at 5-0, number 22 Pittsburgh. They're 5-0 for the first time since 2000.
Yeah. Pat Narduzzi was on an extreme hot seat coming into the year, and that has completely silenced. Now, this could be a Pitt season, kind of like it reminds me of Ron Zook's final year at Illinois. He was on an extreme hot seat coming in. They start off 6-0, get up to number 15, lost out. Could happen to Pitt, but I think because they're at home, I think they get this one done.
Thad Mooney just now seeing this on Facebook. I'm glad my internet went out before halftime. Didn't have to watch the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Referring to Purdue, Wisconsin. Lucky you. I could have turned it off, but I just sat there in misery because I like pain and misery. Number one, Texas, 14.5-point favorites against number 18, Oklahoma. This game's played at the in Dallas for Texas State Fair like it always is.
Yeah. They asked Sarkisian who's going to start quarterback this week. And all he said, or if Quinn Ewers was going to start this week, and all he said is the game's not played today or
playing
something
both.
Like that. So I assume it'll be Ewers, although Arch Manning's looked pretty solid. But
yes.
You got to go back to Ewers. I mean, he led him to a playoff last year. And so give me Texas. I don't think this Oklahoma team is very good.
I'm taking Texas as well and to cover. Notre Dame back after the bye week, 24-point favorites. They're up to number 11 now. Hosting Stanford.
Stanford's bad. Notre Dame covers.
Yeah, they can't have a replication of 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Fly through a few of these. Arizona at number 14, BYU, who's a 4-point favorite.
Give me the Cougs.
Yep, I'm taking the Cougars as well. Number 9, Ole Miss, 3-point favorite at number 13, LSU. That surprises me, to be honest.
You see what Shane Beamer said today about Ole Miss, his injuries? So Ole Miss 2 weeks ago very clearly faked an injury to get a kind of a free time out there. And Beamer said today, man, I hope those guys are – because they played South Carolina over the weekend. Man, I hope those guys are doing good. There were so many injuries after we pick up a first down. It was just So kind of
I've hated that strategy for years. We've seen teams do it, and you can't
–
I don't know what they do to stop them.
No. Give me LSU, though.
I'm taking Brian Kelly and the Tigers as well. Number 18, Kansas State, 4.5-point favorites at Colorado.
Please.
Can they stop Colorado from going 5-1?
Please. Kansas State. Give me Kansas State.
I hope so. I just – and I feel bad because Travis Hunter is a fun player to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm like – I just want you to lose. I don't want you to get you close to the Heisman because that means they're doing really well.
Deion said this week that the Dolphins are on Shadur's list of teams to play for. So, yeah.
They're
not going to pull an Eli if the Dolphins.
Travis Hunter said he wants to be a Bronco. So I'm like, I would take Travis Hunter if Deion would stay out.
Yeah.
But hopefully the Broncos won't be in position to get him. So. Okay, let's shift gears to the NFL. It was a fun week 5. A lot of interesting results. 3 winners, 3 losers. Start us off, J-Man.
My first winner is the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk throws for over 500. Tampa Bay really choked that thing away, though, with a bad fumble by, I think it was Bucky Irving. And then Younghoe Koo, man, he's been awfully clutch the past
nails.
2 weeks. Nails. Atlanta. I still have Kirk with the Washington then Redskins. That was about 10 years now. It feels like
that was two teams ago.
I know. Atlanta, you know, they found a way to spike the ball with 1 second left. And as I said, Younghoe Koo makes field goal tie it and go down the field. So they're looking pretty good.
Yep. I'm going to take the New York Football Giants going into Seattle. We've been saying Seattle is a fraud, but it's a good win for the Giants. And that was, you know, we give Daniel Jones a lot of flack, but it was probably his best game yesterday in a long time. So 29-21.
Yeah. Houston Texans are a winner, helped by some bad Bills time management there towards the end. For one, Josh Allen was very clearly concussed.
Yeah, he was out of it.
He was out. And he even did the posturing thing a little bit. But for some reason, they just gave him some smelling salts and he was able to go back in. And the NFL hasn't said boo about that one. Yeah, Houston needed to prove they weren't frauds as well by winning a big game because they had a loss, got killed by Minnesota, could have lost to Jacksonville last week. They haven't looked all that great so far, but big win against a good team.
My second winner, the Arizona Cardinals, 24-23 win on the road in San Francisco. All of a sudden, Niners are 2-3. Cardinals, I know the record's not great, but they're better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. is good. Kyler Murray's been pretty solid so far. So,
yep.
My final winner is the Miami Dolphins. For one, they won the game. But then you also, of course, the Patriots lost. Jets lose. Bills lose. So it was a really good day for them just to stay alive until Tua hopefully comes back week 8. They have a bye this week. Then they go to Indianapolis. They lose yesterday, then lose to Indianapolis. You're 1-5, and Tua's back, and you'd have to be almost perfect the rest of the way to make the playoffs. Now, if they can somehow find a way to win in Indianapolis, which I do not think they'll be able to, but at least just stay alive. And they're only a game out behind the Bills, tied with the Jets. So it was a big win for my psyche, for one.
Yeah, you're my wife enjoys seeing your tweets during Dolphins games. They're pretty entertaining.
I was pretty roller coaster.
Roller coaster yesterday.
Pretty mad up until about 2 minutes left.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Yeah.
My last winner, the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Going to Pittsburgh, get a big Sunday night win, 20-17. This game is delayed like an hour, hour and a half.
Yeah.
I actually stayed up for the end of it, but I was falling asleep. I woke up right when they're at the goal line and saw the whole crazy fumble and Dak getting on it, and then the fourth down conversion. Good win for the Cowboys, tough loss for the Steelers. I do think both these teams are pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, the Steelers are going to defense side of the ball. It looks like Mr. Russell Wilson's going to get his starting spot back when he's ready to go.
What's his new phrase? Let's win 7 or something like that?
Yeah, let's win something about 7, on to 7, let's win 7. I don't know. He's had them ever since he was at Wisconsin.
His teammates can't like him that much. They just can't.
Sean Payton kind of threw another dart at him again today.
Leave the guy alone, Sean, for the love of God.
He didn't say his name, but you could tell who he was referring to when he said they like football players who are concentrating on football instead of other things. So, yep. Three losers. I will start off with the Cincinnati Bengals. Uh-huh. Can't lose that game. You're up 10 with about 5 minutes to go. Division rival. You lose. You lose in overtime the way it happened. Could crumble the whole season.
Yeah. 49ers. Don't know when Christian McCaffrey's coming back. That's now two losses they've had this year where it felt like they should have won. Against LA and then against Arizona. This one was at home against Arizona too. Against a team, as we said, we think they're better. They've looked pretty good so far. But you can't lose at home to the Arizona Cardinals. They just haven't looked themselves so far.
Number two loser for me, the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. They got some voodoo going down there in Jacksonville. Haven't won there since 2014. I mean, it looked like Colts were out of it at times and come back and get their hopes up again and tie it up. It was an entertaining game if you didn't have any dog in the fight. But if I'm a Colt fan, I'm not looking forward to going down there in 2025 already.
Seattle Seahawks. So you mentioned the Giants as your winner. I said they were the worst 3-0 team we've seen in a while, and it's proven correct after losing last week. I forget who they lost to previous week. But then losing at home to a bad Giants team, had a chance to tie it late and gave up a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. Who's the backup quarterback? Did they draft a young guy? I cannot remember.
Seattle?
Yeah.
They traded for Sam Howell.
Ugh. They need to think about going quarterback early in this upcoming draft.
And my last loser, I was going to pick the Raiders since the Broncos did in the 8-game winning streak.
And if
Gardner throws a touchdown, goes up 17-3, Broncos are probably in big trouble. But instead, the best cornerback in the league, in my opinion, returns for a 100-yard pick six.
He's a lot better than Sauce Gardner. Yeah. And Sauce Gardner gets so much press because he plays in New York, and he's not that good.
The Jets are my third loser, so that ties in. I picked them to win. I don't know. I'm starting to think they're not very good. Aaron Rodgers
washed.
I almost want to say it.
I'm saying it. My last loser is the Cleveland Browns. Terrible contract. Disaster of a season so far, and it's going to continue to get worse. I can't imagine it turns around unless they go to Jameis. At least if you lose with Jameis, it's entertaining as heck. Now, Browns fans are just miserable. So.
Yep. All right, we got to fly through these picks. We only got less than 5 minutes. San Francisco 49ers at Seattle Seahawks, Thursday Night Football.
I think the Niners bounce back. Niners for 8.
I got Niners for 6. Jaguars against the Bears in London.
Bears for 9. Caleb Williams looked fantastic yesterday.
I got the Bears for 9 as well. Cardinals at Packers.
Give me the Packers for 4. Big win for them yesterday, too.
I got the Packers for 10. I like what they're doing right now. Colts at Titans.
Colts for 3.
Got the Colts for 1. I think it's a coin flip game. Texans at Patriots.
I think Patriots are the worst team in the NFL. Give me Houston for 14.
I got Houston for 14 as well. We're right on the same page there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at New Orleans Saints. I wish I could watch the Saints play Arrowhead before picking this game, but it is what it is.
Give me Tampa Bay for 6. I've never been a believer in Derek Carr. You know that.
Every week you say that. Buccaneers for 7. Commanders at Ravens.
Commanders at Ravens. Give me Baltimore for 7.
I got Baltimore for 5. Cleveland at Philadelphia.
Philadelphia for 13.
I got the Eagles for 13 as well. Chargers at Broncos.
You go first.
I got the Broncos for 8.
Okay, I'm going to change mine to the LA Chargers for 5.
All right. I'm nervous about it. Harbaugh's a good coach.
Yeah.
So. Steelers at Raiders.
It's going to be a 13-10 type of game. Give me Pittsburgh for 2.
I got Pittsburgh for 12. I think the Raiders are done. I think they're done already. Lions at Cowboys.
Lions for 1. Remember last year, fantastic game. I think it was a Sunday night. Maybe it was a playoff. Was it a playoff? No, it wasn't a playoff. Was it a playoff? I don't remember. But Lions went in there and won. But give me the Lions for 1.
I got the Cowboys for 2. Falcons at Panthers.
Give me the Falcons for 12.
Got the Falcons for 11. The Cincinnati Bengals at New York Giants. I thought this game was going to get flexed out for the Commanders-Ravens.
It would have been nice. 1-4 against 2-3. I'm taking Cincinnati for 11.
I'm taking Cincinnati for 4. If they lose this one, I might not pick them the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bills at Jets, your favorite on Monday night.
I hate this matchup, and it'd probably do the Dolphins a favor if the Jets win, but I can't root for them. I cannot root for the Jets, cannot root for Aaron Rodgers. Give me the Bills for 10.
I got the Bills for 3, and I don't have the bye teams.
Kansas City Chiefs, LA Rams, Miami Dolphins, and Minnesota Vikings.
There you go. Two of the undefeated teams, or maybe one if the Chiefs lose tonight to the Saints.
I don't think the Chiefs will be losing at home to the Saints tonight. That's just
no.
There are I got to go.
Yeah, I forget the question, so I'm in big trouble.
Most games with 4 or more passing touchdowns and 50 or more rushing yards in NFL history. Can you name the top 4 guys? 3 for a par, 4 for a birdie.
This is awful. I'm just completely blanking on decent mobile quarterbacks who could throw. I'm going to be wrong with this guy, but I know he was athletic enough to run a little bit, and he had a great arm. John Elway, one of them?
No.
Oh, Steve Young?
No.
Michael Vick?
Michael Vick.
Russell Wilson?
No.
Oh.
I thought you'd have a shot.
No, I knew I wouldn't have a shot. Lamar on there already?
Lamar's done it the most, 6 times.
Oh, okay. So Lamar and who's the other one I got right? I know I got a bogey. Mike Vick. Yeah, I should have started with him. That was pretty dumb.
This one will probably upset you a little bit.
Just give it to me. I have no idea.
Cam Newton.
I forgot about him. Yep.
And then I thought you'd get the top 3 guys. And then Aaron Rodgers has done it twice. He's done.
I would have never guessed that.
I figured Rodgers would be a tough one.
Oh, pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.